Hello.
Way to fuck it up, dude. Just
good afternoon.
You're just in a mood today, huh?
Zach is in one of those, if you poke his belly, he's gonna giggle.
Whoa. He is. Wow, this is.
There you go. I just proved it.
Wow, it's a night for Zach. I think the room just put you in a mood, huh? Oh, look who's back, by the way, Nick. Look who decided to show up this week.
Yeah.
Look who wasn't at a,
By the way, you're unfired.
Yeah, look who wasn't at his twist.
Oh, I got fired last week?
Yeah, we fired you.
Okay.
And then we talked about what concert you were at.
Motorhead.
Did you Megadeth, right?
Did you see what I ended up putting in the description? No, of course not.
I don't listen.
And you know what the sad part is? I didn't either, and I posted it on my site with the same description. So that tells you. I just copy-paste, don't even read it.
I said, Zach is out at a fish concert.
Fish concert. Not fish. I have not seen fish.
Yet.
Ever.
Even in the future.
Okay, hot take for you. I don't like... So.
What does hot take mean?
It's the opposite of a cold take.
Right.
It's like, actually technically the opposite of a cold give.
Sure. No, a hot take is like a controversial, like it's like a really like edgy, like sort of opinion on something.
Okay.
Like very like, right.
So all of your opinions.
Right.
So get ready.
So your life is one big hot take?
Yeah. So I did a search for like worst bands of all time to like try to brainstorm for
me. Like Fish on it.
Right. Fish was like on that list or whatever. Number one on that list, Dave Matthews Band.
I like the Dave Matthews
Band. I do too. Am I like the only one?
I like the Dave
like,
Matthews
Band. Like, is that
like
a controversial thing to like the Dave Matthews Band?
No, I don't like the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh. It's like, I mean, they got some...
Who else was on that list?
Oh, Nickelback, of course.
And naturally. And
I think Red Hot Chili Peppers was on that list.
I like
I
Red
see
Hot Chili
it.
Peppers.
I like them, but they're not as good as everyone says they are.
I think we all want to like them
the
more.
Eagles,
than we do,
the Eagles were on that list.
Well,
that
okay, the
sense.
Eagles are awful.
They're terrible.
But shitty no, people.
But number one, Dave Matthews,
the
and I'm
lead
like,
singer.
Like fucking Crash Into Me is a jam, right? Like, that's a great song. You
oh,
know?
God, I hate that song.
Why?
Crash Into Me.
I'm the king of the castle. You're the dirty master.
Yeah, that song's just like, it's demeaning.
I guess. But
it's
like,
demeaning.
No, Ants Marching. It's like, they got some good songs, right?
No. Wrong. Wrong.
I don't know. I immediately, when I saw that list, my reaction was not to...
I was hoping you were going to say, you know who's number one on that list? Motorhead.
Motorhead.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
No,
the
but
guy's
like,
70.
What guy?
The lead singer of Motorhead.
They're that old?
He's that old.
He's that old.
The two other members of the band are 20 years younger than he is.
Wow.
They're in their 50s?
Yeah, but still.
When was the band, like, when did they become big? Like, 90s?
No.
Earlier than that?
70s? 80s? I'm just kidding. I don't have no clue.
To the interwebs.
To the webs. I hope it was, like, 2004. Like,
look up the popularity of Motorhead. Like, because I didn't, like, I had heard the name when Nick said it to me, but I had no idea who they were. I couldn't tell you a single Motorhead song.
Ace of Spades.
Okay.
That's how I reacted, too.
Ace of Spades.
I know Triple H's theme song. Was made by them.
They did Motorhead. Yes.
Triple H?
Yeah.
The wrestler. The wrestler, Triple H. His theme song was made by Motorhead.
Oh, man. Can we talk...
We'll look it up after. This is taking way too
long. Speaking of professional wrestlers, can we talk...
John Cena! Da-da-da.
Can we have a conversation about that for a second? I feel like we need to have a talk. Like, I feel like we need to stop collecting.
You don't like the Tom Cena thing.
The Tom Cena. The Johnny Weisel. I could see why you got mixed up.
Johnny Weisel.
I could see why you got mixed up.
I feel like we all need to just agree to stop that. Like, I think we all need to get
John
together and just...
I'm an avid supporter of John Cena's meme.
Like...
So am I. And so is John Cena.
I like the idea of John Cena. I think that, like, this is another thing.
I like the concept.
Right.
It's the next Rickroll, dude.
It is. It's the new Rickroll.
But I didn't like Rickroll. I just wasn't a fan of it. Like, this is just every time I think I'm going to see boobs on Facebook. Every time. It just ends up being John Cena.
What are you favoring on
wait
Facebook?
Wait a minute.
To where you think you're going to start
we
seeing
we need to rewind.
Boobs.
Yeah, what?
Have you not seen every... Like, that is the meme, right?
No.
Am I
no.
wrong?
Yes.
Every time on Facebook, I see, like, there's this really, like, shoddily shot picture of, like, a hot chick, and she's about to take her shirt off, and as soon as she's about to, like, lift it off, Like, fucking John Cena pops up.
No, and they usually do it with, like...
That's what I've seen. That's the only context I've seen this in.
Okay, no, no, no. The other context...
You haven't seen the good ones, though.
They'll take, like, a movie... Or, like a TV show or something, they'll take the scene where they say, like, oh, I'm... Like, whenever they're going to introduce themselves. And so, like, they had Pocahontas. They're showing this Pocahontas scene where she meets John for the first time. And he's like, what's your name? And she's like, Pocahontas. And he's like, I'm John Cena. And the scene is, like... The scene is, like, a minute and a half long, so it just drags you in.
Yeah.
Just,
I guess.
And then tag with it will be like, man, don't you guys love this movie?
Yes, sure.
And, like, so they'll totally won't expect it.
Yeah. I also saw one of Donald Duck hammering missiles for Hitler.
Yep.
Which was apparently a cartoon.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Was that a John Cena?
Yeah.
If I knew that was a John Cena, I would have watched that one. I scrolled past it.
John Cena by the end of it. But, no, I think we need to stop. I'm just not... I love John Cena in Trainwreck. I love the idea of John Cena. I love that there's this giant meathead that thinks he's, like, the greatest. Like, I mean, I guess it's all professional
John
wrestling.
Cena is actually really great.
Right. Yeah. I like him.
Awesome. I like him.
I'm not a fan of the meme. I think we need to stop the meme.
Are you a supporter of the U.S. military?
Now, I support the John Cena
meme. You haven't seen that one either?
No.
Okay, so this radio station.
Yeah, you don't even know where it originated,
yeah.
Do you?
No, I don't.
This radio station kept calling this woman... And John Cena-ing her.
It was one of those pranks where the husband called the station.
Yeah.
And was like, let's prank my wife.
Yeah.
And that's what it
so
was.
So after a while, they kept doing it. So they called back, and she picked up. And she's like, I swear to fucking God, if you call me again. And then the woman just goes, ma'am, I'm just calling to see if you're a supporter of the U.S. military. And she's like, oh my God, yes, I am. She goes, good, are you a supporter of the Marines? Of the Marine Corps. She goes, yes, I am. She goes, well, there's a former Marine who needs your help. And his name is John Cena!
And they fucking got her so bad.
That's where it came from?
That's where it all came from. They're wow. Like, they.
The and then first in the same video was Champ, love Champ.
That was the first one. That's what I was going to say. They go, hey, is Champ home? She goes, Champ? He's like, yeah, I want to speak to Champ. She's like, who's Champ? And they go, that's what we want to find out this Sunday night! As John Cena defends his championship! And that's where it all started, dude.
Okay.
It's a great meme.
Maybe I would have enjoyed that. But.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so apparently fun. You've
only seen
potential
the boobs.
I've only seen
cock teases. That's all I've seen. And John Cena pops up. Which, I mean, not to insult John Cena's body and or cock. Which I've seen in
Trainwreck. Okay, this got really weird.
I've seen his penis.
Was it in Trainwreck?
Was it his actual penis?
Well, it was his penis draped with a washcloth, but it was still his penis. You guys need to see Trainwreck, man.
I heard it wasn't good.
What?
I heard it wasn't good.
What?
Yeah.
Who's saying these things?
I don't know. Anybody with, like, you know...
Dude!
Two brain cells.
Yeah. It's great. What are you talking about?
They said they're, like, you know, for an Amy Schumer written movie, it was alright, I guess. But they're like,
fantastic.
Really?
These people clearly
cinematic
aren't.
Masterpiece.
I thought, aren't you an Amy Schumer fan though?
I like her.
Oh, it's great.
I like her, but I don't. I would never be like, oh, I think Amy Schumer is an intelligent person who makes quality programming.
Stop. Stop it.
I've never
right
considered
now.
Her that.
Stop it.
I just think
right
she's funny.
Now. Stop it.
I think she's funny in the same way I think Lisa Lampanelli's funny. I'm not going to give her a fucking Emmy.
Yeah, I'm not going to give praise to Lisa Lampanelli.
She did get an Emmy on Sunday though.
Who did?
Amy Schumer did.
Oh.
Why?
Inside Amy Schumer, dude. Won Best Sketch Comedy.
That's still on?
Yes, it's great.
Best Sketch Comedy.
It did. It won the
she
best
beat Key and Peele?
Yeah, she beat Key and Peele.
Was that her only competition?
SNL. It was basically just every sketch comedy on TV was nominated for Best Sketch Comedy.
Because there are only like seven.
There's like five of them. So they just nominated all five and they just voted on it.
Jesus.
Game of Thrones won Best Drama, though.
Oh, good.
Did you hear that? It's like the first time it's ever won because it's the first year Breaking Bad wasn't on.
Yeah.
So they're just like, all right, here you go, Game of Thrones.
You're like, okay, we guess you can have
So is it officially the best show on television at the moment?
I guess. I mean, Peter Dinklage won Best Supporting Actor, which I don't understand because he was in like 5 minutes of the season.
Was he only in that short?
I think so. He wasn't in this season, was he? Basically.
Yeah, he was.
Not at all. Anyway, that's the Emmys. Sorry. We watched The Room today, guys.
Yeah. Segue.
So,
how's your sex life?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Okay.
How do we describe it?
Okay. If you
one word. Hold on. One word to describe it. And you can't use bad or any form of bad. That's tough. Go.
Awkward.
Pleasantly terrible.
One word.
Well, I can't use pleasant, can I? I'll use terrible.
I
would go uncomfortable.
Okay.
Itchy?
It's like an Irish sweater. It's uncomfortable. You don't want to wear it / watch it, but you do.
But you have to because Auntie Tommy Wiseau made it.
Yes. Yes. And it's very cold outside, and sometimes you just need it.
Yes.
You know? We needed something to warm this podcast with today.
I can't see Nico.
Now, if this analogy made you uncomfortable.
Okay, here's... Okay. Should people watch the room before listening to this?
Yes.
I think they should,
Go out, find the room. You will absolutely hate it.
I think they need to
watch
it, though.
Yet you'll love it all at the same time.
I don't think we'll hate it. I didn't hate it.
I think you need to watch it.
I hated it, but I hated it as much as I loved it.
So, to put Nico's words to use, I guess, he said he knew it was the worst movie ever made, and yet it was still worse than he thought it would be.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not think it was possible for it to be that bad. Like, I didn't... Okay, because there are certain levels of bad that I think we've come to expect. In a world that is so self-referential, in a world where Pompidou exists, in a world where...
Is that a go-to for bad things?
It has to be.
It's the you know, it's the
it's the quintessential
that's
bad.
That's the standard.
Pompidou birthed to this
podcast, our standard.
No, that's the standard. It's like, this movie is three Pompidous.
Right. Like, but, you know, Danger 5 exists...
Danger
right.
5 was, like, half a Pompidou.
Sharknado 3, right. But, like, these things exist, and they are purposely bad. They are, I mean, I don't know.
I guess...
I mean, I don't know if Pompidou was supposed to be bad or not, but, like, there were certainly, like, it knew where...
I guess what we could say about this movie, in relative to the other bad movies that we've seen, is this one is the most authentic.
Right.
Authentically bad.
Yes.
It wasn't purposeful.
I truly believe... What's this guy's name?
Tommy Wiseau.
We're never going to forget this guy's name. We're going to be talking about this guy for the next 3 years. Because this guy truly believed that he was making a good movie.
Well, it's funny because you guys know this, but when we watch movies... I'm always looking up, like, trivia and shit about the movies.
Yeah, it's a fun pastime where I sit next to Zach and he just shows me...
I just show them to him and they're good. They're good. IMDb,
yeah.
The guy who played Mark...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Greg something.
Yeah.
He wrote a book about this movie, doing this movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's called, like, The Disaster Artist or something like that.
Yeah.
And in it, he says that Tommy took this movie so seriously that he would get physically angry with the cast and the crew.
Yeah. I
mean, like, hit them?
Like, to the point where he was, like, throwing things. He tackled the guy who played Mark because he said something in French.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, what did he say in French?
He said, like, nice catch. It was like when they were filming one of the many football scenes.
Yeah.
Too many football scenes.
Can we say that? Too much?
Too much football? Too much football.
Too much football.
He said, like, hey, nice catch in French. And Tom was like, no, no French, damn it. It was a quote.
Wow.
And he fucking tackled him.
Wow. Yes. This guy... I don't think I've quite seen anything like this before. In the sense that this guy believed in every shot. He believed in the story that he was making.
And he believed it was all necessary.
Yes. This guy is a crazy person. This guy is an insane... And I love this sort of thing.
He was fucking scary,
like,
too. He was jacked.
I don't like bad things that are purposely bad.
But, like, not really.
No, he was huge.
No, like, he was... I wouldn't want to take him in a fight. But I wouldn't say, oh, you know, this guy's, like... Jack, he was jacked, but it was like a weird jack, like a Michael Chiklis jack.
Did you see his fucking arms though?
Okay, I have a question.
Scary, man.
I have a question. This is, I think, the first place that we need to start this conversation with Ruma.
Sure.
What's Johnny's deal? Okay,
okay.
What's his deal? Like, Johnny is the main character in this movie. He is the, I guess, focal point, but not really.
If anything, it's Lisa.
He is essentially this or as the script leads you to believe, this great guy.
He's a saint.
This beloved, perfect man that is simply taken advantage of by this femme fatale character that is disloyal and cheats on him with his best friend. And eventually, he is the tragedy. He is the tragic hero here.
I suppose.
And we'll say that we'll get to the ending in a little bit. What's this guy's deal? Why do people love him so much?
Why are you yelling?
Like, because that's what I yell. I'm Nico. I yell. Like, between the hair and the weird jeans and this accent that I'm not quite sure is his accent. Like, why do people love him so much? What is beloved about Johnny? Because to me, he's just this creepy, ambiguously French guy with bad hair and bad jeans.
Because he is, as Nick said, he is a saint. He's the nicest guy ever. He's paying for Denny to live and go to college.
So yeah, he literally just picks up his kid off the street and just like pays for his apartment and his
because he wanted to adopt him, but he was too old.
Just randomly.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did he do?
He, when we're talking with Peter and Mark and everyone else, he's always like, hey, if you need anything.
Always offering.
He's always offering his help. Whenever he goes into a restaurant or a store or whatever,
everybody
loves
him.
People know him; they love him. He's a great guy.
He buys a dozen roses for his girlfriend every week, basically.
I guess,
and they bone a lot.
I guess
he treats her so well,
but
takes care of her for 7 years.
But if I was on a street corner and a guy like Johnny,
talk to him,
right? This 70-year-old looking Fabio, right? Like Fabio in like 20 years, you know,
yes.
Walks up to me with his greasy hairdo, fucking. I don't think a single strand of hair was connected to another. Like I don't feel like any of them
it
were
was
touching,
just all sort of
right?
fanned out.
It was all just sort of like wind chimes in his hair, right? Like not a single one made contact with another strand of hair, right?
Okay.
It was just a bunch of individual. Like, I feel like if that guy came up to me, I am running in the opposite direction, right? Like, I understand, like, okay, he's a great guy. You shouldn't, like, judge book by its cover. Like, I understand
that. And I think that's the moral of the story.
Sure. Okay, that's the moral of it. But, like, I feel like just looks-wise, there's a certain sort of bar that we need to set for this guy is the dream man. This mother, this cunt of a mother, I guess we're calling.
She's awful.
Right? Just a horrible
Claudette,
human
yeah.
being.
So this is Lisa's mother, Claudette.
Right. Keep saying how Johnny is just the perfect man.
Which,
he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
He's financially stable.
Yeah.
Like, how does that guy with that hairdo and the worst jeans I have ever seen in my life, how does that guy work up to financial stability, to having all of these friends? This guy has such a large social circle.
Now can I make a point here, though?
Yes.
So, the actual guy, Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
How did he, looking like that, earn this money to make this movie?
Yes.
And gather these people to make this movie? It's the same story. And my point is, I guess, that if Tommy Wiseau could do it, why couldn't Johnny?
Well, Tommy Wiseau was independently wealthy way before the movie.
Yes.
My point is, though, he can walk around and look like that.
Right. I think all I need to do is show you his IMDb page. Okay? I think that's all you need to know. This is his picture on IMDb.
Yes.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Nico, I've been on his IMDb all night.
Yeah.
I know.
That's a wonderful picture. He looks like he was supposed to be an Aerosmith when he was 17.
Let me read you his mini biography. Tommy Wiseau trained to be an actor at American Conservatory Theater, Vince Chase Workshop, Gene Shelton Acting Lab.
Gene Shelton.
Wow, they just add all. Okay, they just list his schools that he's been to. In 2001, he wrote, produced, and directed and starred in The Room, a feature film that received the 2003 Audience Award at the New York International Film Festival. What the fuck?
It got an award?
What?
I won an award.
The New York Film Festival
was
like a big thing, though.
How did you win?
That's like a major film festival.
I feel like they misunderstood the audience and gave it to the wrong person.
Was that a joke? Did they vote? Like, did they realize?
Yeah,
oh my
it was
gosh.
Like the, what's the awards that celebrates bad movies? The Razzies. It was like the Razzies.
But, like, that's like, the New York International, I've heard of that. Like, major films get released there.
He's part of the Actors Guild.
Oh my god. Like, that guy votes on the Screen Actors Guild. Oh my, he's 59 years old. Often drinks Red Bull while filming. That's a fun fact.
There's three facts in his trivia page.
Wow.
That's it.
Is independently wealthy and does not rely on filmmaking to live. Got his SAG card by writing, producing, directing.
What does that mean, independently wealthy? He has money, yes, I get that part. Where does his money come from?
He said in an interview that he made his money by importing and exporting leather goods.
He's Art Vandalay?
He will not expand any further as to what that means.
That is George Costanza. You got that from Seinfeld. What does your friend Art Vandalay do? He's an importer-exporter.
What does that mean, leather goods?
What does he import? Latex.
Latex. And you want to be my latex salesman.
That is Seinfeld. What are you talking about?
What is leather used for, guys? Let's brainstorm here.
Jackets. Assless chaps.
Do you think it's something like that?
Gimp suits.
What do you think he's selling?
But he also, I also heard someone else that he has
whips.
He's an importer.
Could it be whips?
That he's in a sort of a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
So he has businesses. You saw he sells underwear.
Right.
You can buy Tommy Wiseau underwear.
Yeah.
It's on his website. Just go to TommyWiseau.com.
So this is just like he is just trying new business ideas at all times. He's just trying to see what sticks. He's that sort of eccentric.
Hey, if it works.
He's a Mark Cuban type.
Yeah.
Not nearly as wealthy.
If you will. No, I like the idea that he's just this kinky sexual guy that just sells leather.
He's an importer expert.
That's what he means by leather goods, right? Like, I just want to believe that that's gimp outfits and whips.
I think so, yeah.
Right.
I'm a little concerned. So
my only question is, I mean, I understand this guy wrote, produced, directed the film.
Yeah.
And starred in it. Like, is it believable that this guy is the Casanova that everybody around him is, like, is making him out to be? Like, it's all great. Oh, yeah, he's taking care of this random kid and begging for his college. Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of friends. Oh, yeah, he loves throwing the football around and wrestling his friends in the park. Like, I understand that. That it all in practice sounds good.
Hold on. Not his friends in the park. His friend.
Yes.
There was one.
His one friend that he just wrestles in the park.
That he does everything.
Well, there's Mark. There's Denny. And there is
there's Peter. There's Steven. There's Mike.
Yeah, he had a lot of friends. What are you talking about?
There's Michelle.
Yes. Michelle's not his friend.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all in the same circle.
Michelle was supporting fucking Lisa at first.
I guess.
Lisa's the worst. She's... Okay, so Lisa.
Yes, let's talk about Lisa.
Okay.
Let's talk about Lisa real quick, because she's a sociopath.
Yes. Lisa, I would argue...
And not like the Ferris Bueller sociopath that we all come to love and enjoy, you know?
Sure. The Dexter sociopath.
I don't...
That's a different kind.
Know technically what the definition of sociopath is.
It's... I mean, I'm going to paraphrase and get a lot of things wrong, but it's basically somebody who doesn't like feel for anyone else other than themselves. They only look out for themselves, no empathy, can't think from other people's point of view, doesn't really have strong emotions one way or the other, just does whatever they want, kind of.
Okay.
Yes.
And she had no concern for him.
I would argue...
It's a psychopath.
Psychopath.
I don't know exactly what the difference is between the two, but I think they both sort of overlap.
I think a psychopath is just like a little more extreme and probably more specific.
Is insane. I think that means insane.
Yeah.
Psychopath, I believe, means insane. Yes, like what you're doing now.
Look at those waves.
That is wavy.
Wavelength.
A hot wave.
I would argue that Lisa is the dynamic character in this.
Yeah.
Script, as though she's the one going through change and is left with the moral dilemmas. Johnny is more sort of the center that everybody sort of
the consistent laugh and
rotates around, right? Like he is sort of the crux of the story in the sense that everybody is all the action takes place around Johnny and it's about Johnny. But really, Lisa is the protagonist here, right?
Yeah.
Lisa's a bitch.
She's the worst.
Okay,
I don't like her.
Let's start here. These are three guys doing a podcast in a basement right now. So let's make this very clear, all right? We're three morons in a basement.
Yes.
And this may be, we may be accused of sexism. Well, I'm saying this.
No.
Probably not.
Not for this movie.
Probably not for this one.
I mean, I'm not saying that we're not sexist. I'm just saying in this particular case.
Okay.
I'm not helping our case.
Are you about to say that Lisa studies cuntology?
No, I was more saying...
Because she does.
Masters in it.
I would more say that Lisa is...
You're welcome.
Nick's fucking around with the mic.
Yeah.
That you can...
I would more say that Lisa shares a few too many characteristics with Miss Piggy. That's all I'm trying to say. like, Lisa is a fucking farm animal. She's not attractive whatsoever.
She's hideous, yeah.
She was hideous. Not pretty.
She is gross. We see her boobs.
I made the comparison that she looks like a Smurf.
Yes.
She looks like Smurfette.
I actually wanted to say this. Thank you for reminding me. I found all of the men in this movie way more attractive.
Yes.
Except for Johnny, though.
No.
You found Johnny attractive?
Have you seen that
you
body?
You found fucking ghetto Fabio attractive?
That body. He's so jacked. It's Fabio. Scary.
There's a movie. Ghetto Fabio.
I'm totally in on
I'll
that.
I'll support that.
No, I,
three white guys are gonna write Ghetto Fabio.
So the fact that...
we have to write something.
Yes. The fact that every guy in this movie is fighting for Lisa's affection, I found was very unbelievable. Just in casting. Right? I just feel like that was a bad casting choice. Not good boobs, and we see them far too many times.
The worst boobs.
Pretty bad boobs.
They want good boobs.
And
we've seen a lot of boobs.
Now, for those of you at home, if you have boobs like that, it's okay. We support you.
We support your boobs.
Just don't show them on the big screen.
That's all.
That's all we're asking.
I'll be happy to see them, but like, just not, just don't put them on film.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking, right?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
Okay. We're taking boob pictures when we can get them.
Yeah, I won't complain.
I wouldn't solicit boob pics.
Don't do that.
Wink, wink. Don't do it.
I'll take them. Zach won't. That's fine.
At TackyFlax on Twitter, DM me.
More for me. Yeah. So there's constant reference to, oh, Lisa, you're so beautiful. Oh, you look so great in that dress. Oh, I'm just in love with her.
My favorite mention was when you said, did you get a new dress? And she was wearing jeans. That was the best.
Maybe he was talking to Michelle.
I don't think, because she was wearing a skirt, not a dress. And why would he, why?
I don't trust Johnny to know the difference. Okay, I mean, yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
I think Johnny's a moron. Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, Johnny's a lovable guy. People love him. I don't think anything's going on under the surface there. That's why I continue to be confused by this. I don't get the sense like he's this brilliant man. Right? Like,
I think he is.
The description on IMDb of the room makes some sort of reference to, like, he's a successful...
He's a banker.
Yeah.
You didn't get that, considering he said bank?
Yes, I get Johnny's a successful banker who lives happily in San Francisco townhouse with his fiance. Like, I just don't... I don't know. I don't get Johnny's deal. I just don't get it.
I like Johnny personally.
I don't know. I'm fascinated by him, but I don't get it. Something's missing there.
Well, you know where it might be found.
Where it might
in
be found.
In the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plots going on in this movie.
Wow, you have a list.
Yes.
Okay, let's
a list of all the sluts I missed.
No, I knew you were going to go there. No Bo Burnham, not in this show.
Right, let's talk about it. Go through it.
Okay, so...
plots.
I'm going to save the main plot for the end. Naturally.
We'll work our way down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Claudette had cancer.
Yes. So, yeah, Lisa's mother...
There's one.
Lisa's mother, Claudette, briefly just makes mention, just literally offhanded, like, she's like, well, I'm dying. And Lisa's like, you're not dying. And she's like, I got the tests. I have breast cancer.
It was so casual.
And then they just never mention it.
Yeah, and it just, like, it's not like
According to Tommy, she makes a full recovery. So there's that.
Oh, I'm glad he cleared that one up for
but
us.
But it's not like a big, like, shock. Like, I feel like that's a big moment, right? When you find out your mother has breast cancer.
She,
I feel like
the mother didn't even care. She's like, whatever, I have breast cancer.
Yeah, the test came in. Turns out I actually do have breast cancer. Yeah. Like, no, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or no, like, hug. Or no, I'm there for you. We're going to go through, we're going to fight this together.
I think she immediately goes back and being like, but I don't love Johnny.
Yeah.
Love Johnny.
Just... And the mom's just like, Johnny supports you.
Yeah. It yeah. just slipped in, though.
Yes. So she does have breast cancer.
Number two, Denny bought drugs.
Yeah. Denny.
Let's talk about that. Your impressions on Denny.
All right. Denny is a,
I don't want to say names.
He's a 20-year-old. In a 12-year-old's body.
He reminds me of, and you'll know who this is, you might.
Or maybe the 12-year-old in a 20-year-old's body, which is correct. He's 20 years old in age, but he acts like a 12-year-old. That's what I'm trying to say.
Looking
and he
back,
also looks like one.
He kind of reminds me of Shoot Up the School.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
I don't know what that is.
I know what you're saying. I don't agree, but I know what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
It's a person we know that we're not going to.
That's a name for a person.
Yes.
Shoot Up the School.
Yes.
That's a nickname for a person,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Shut up, steak fry.
You are steak fry.
He approve. Is steak fry. I'm not a fan from of that. Here on out, only solely before the Nico.
That was my girlfriend's idea.
Yeah, I know it is. That I'm not
approving. I didn't approve of it either. But
no, I know she told me.
Everyone else approved of it.
I think I should get a veto. No, I think I should get one veto. You come up with another one.
How about you get one vote against?
Okay.
Still passes.
I vote again. Motion passes. We need to pull the group.
Motion passes.
We gotta ask Johnny and Denny.
Denny, he constantly makes reference in. So let's talk about the intro to the movie.
Right. Okay.
Just right off the bat.
Exactly.
Fucking Fabio and fucking Fabio and Shrek are about to have sex.
Shrek. Oh, wow.
So Johnny and Lisa are about to, like, fucking have sex in their house, right?
Yeah.
Fucking Denny walks in, and he's just like, oh, hey, guys, can I watch?
I've never seen this dynamic in anything before.
He just straight up, he's like, yo, I want to fuck your future wife. And they won't say fiancé, they say future wife.
Yeah, they didn't say fiancé once in this whole movie.
They didn't use it.
Said future wife 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
But anyways.
3 times.
Yeah. So anyways, he's just like, yeah, I want to fuck your wife. And Johnny's like, oh, you silly little boy. Now I need you to leave so I can bone her. Followed by a 4-minute sex scene.
He said, I want to go take a nap.
Yeah.
And then Denny said, can I join you?
Yeah. And then she goes, I think I'm joining him. They go upstairs. They start having a pillow fight. Denny joins. Then Denny jumps in. Right. And they say, hey, buddy, like... They all start laughing and stuff, and they're like, all right, Danny, but, like, seriously, go do something else. And he's like, I have homework anyways. And then he just leaves. And then there's a 4-minute sex scene in which they're smelling roses.
Right. So yeah. Danny wanted a threesome.
Right.
Pretty much.
With his pseudo-father.
His pseudo-father.
His father figure. Yes. And his fiance.
Which is also the love of his
future
life.
Future
And the love of his life, yes, because Danny is in love with
Which he tells Johnny later. He just straight up says, right. Like, yeah, I'm in love with her.
This is such a strange relationship. This is so weird.
The dynamic of this. But for some reason, he had a problem when Mark was born in his bed.
Right. Like,
oh, hi, Mark. But everyone else, it's like, no, you can.
It's just, oh, golly gee, Daddy. Oh, you're such a character.
And then Mark's like, oh, yo, I'm boning your way. Ah! I will kill you.
So that's Denny.
That's plot point.
I do like Denny though.
Like Denny.
Okay, but no, we should continue though. Okay. Denny is apparently mixed up with a drug dealer.
Yes.
Yeah, right? We never got into
Chris
that.
R was the guy's name.
Chris R.
Yes.
Okay. So Denny,
who, by the way, that drug dealer, probably the best actor in this whole movie.
He was.
Could be. He made the most of his screen time. Very economical.
And he was on the screen for what, like 5 minutes?
Sucked all the meat out of every line he had.
Dude, he pulled a gun out on Denny, aimed at his head, and Johnny came just in the nick of time to save him.
Johnny, along with the rest of the cast.
Yeah, literally everybody showed up on the roof.
Just goes up on the roof, and they're all, like, grabbing and holding on to each other.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop it, Mom! And, like, the mom is coming in, like, after just meeting Denny for the first time, and just going, what's the matter with you?
Now, yeah.
Get some sense
what
into
you. What I enjoyed was they said, what drugs did you buy? And he said, it doesn't matter, and it really didn't.
No, but this drug dealer comes and pulls a gun on him, alluding to some sort of shady stuff going on with Denny and maybe some future conflict, maybe setting up some antagonist in the future.
Hold on. Yeah. So the drug dealer was asking Denny where the money was.
Right.
That's how it starts off.
Yeah.
And then Denny's like, oh, give me 5 minutes. It'll be here. Just give me 5 minutes. Who was he gonna get it from?
Yes.
What was his 5-minute plan? I've been wondering that too. Right?
What was the grand scheme going on? What was the plan that hatched in Denny's mind?
Amazon Prime was on it, right?
Speaking of Amazon,
he was waiting.
Use the Amazon banner, guys.
Easy, click it. Buy
click
it.
Click the Amazon banner and buy some stuff, and Nico will get money and maybe be able to support himself.
That's right. Yeah, so,
and you'd think it would go to the podcast, but he just keeps it all.
It's, well, yeah.
Because he's a dick.
That's right. All $2.50.
From man. Those two dildos.
That's right.
Please, buy dildos.
Buy more dildos.
Next time you go to buy a dildo, please buy it.
How about this? Find some.
Please think of us.
Buy some fine leather goods.
Some leather goods.
Yeah, some leather goods on Amazon. Yeah, so there's no reference to it whatsoever. Like, Mark and Johnny come up and pull the gun away from the guy and then just say, we're taking you to jail, bud, and hold the gun on him.
And then they walk him downstairs.
Yeah.
Lisa and Claudette come upstairs.
Yes.
On the roof. What's happening on the roof?
Yeah, this is on the roof. So this is probably an 8-story building.
I'd say five.
Five? Okay.
Wait, actually, no, because you got to assume if each apartment has two floors, it's got to be like six.
I got to assume it's like only three. Right? Because I feel
like... Well, because
he had a second floor in his apartment.
He had a second floor. Mark lived in the same building, and so did Denny. So.
But they were next to each other. They weren't on top of each other.
I mean, we don't know. It was high up, though. I mean, the speed at which Johnny came back
let's talk about
this guy.
So they, quote-unquote, brought him to jail.
Yes.
And then they were back in, like, 2 minutes.
Yes, they were.
So the police were waiting downstairs.
Either they live across the street from a police station, or they were just like, fuck it, you can go.
Yeah. just get out of here.
Like, take yourself to prison.
Well, I mean, Mark stayed.
No, Mark took him downstairs, too.
No, I mean, Mark stayed with him.
Oh, Johnny came back up, you're saying?
Johnny came back up, but Mark was still there.
Yeah. No, Mark came back up, too. Remember, he had his arm around Claudette.
Oh, that's true, he did! That's right, he just hugged Claudette out of nowhere.
You're right.
It was weird.
Let's talk about that roof.
The dynamic of everyone.
Let's talk about that roof. So, they built... I mean, I don't know how much time went into the construction of these sets... But
a lot.
God damn it. We make a better set for this podcast every week. Right? Like, there was a living room area, there was a bedroom area, and then there was a roof with, a couple walls and a green screen.
But they had a roof they could have used and chose not to use it.
What do you mean?
Like, a roof was available to them for usage of filming.
Really?
And time it was like, fact? No.
No, we're going to build one ourselves. We're going to do it our way?
Yeah.
Well.
Yes. So everything on that roof was pretty much magical, as was all the movie, but it was
every
quite
scene
amazing.
Was gold.
Yeah, it was pretty roof. Great. Continue.
Okay, so yeah. That was plot two.
That was Denny.
Plot three, which was in for, I don't know, probably 10, 20 minutes, was Johnny was supposed to get a promotion... And didn't.
That's true.
that was some major strife for him.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And, like, everyone was saying, oh, he's gonna get this, and then he comes home and he didn't get it, and they're like, they're using me. But he didn't say it, he slowed it, and then they overdubbed it. And then...
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
You want to talk about the dubs?
How did we go 37 minutes without mentioning that? That's okay.
Wait, we haven't mentioned it?
We haven't mentioned that.
Oh, fucking... the whole thing is overdubbed.
Yeah, fucking
Not
Johnny.
A single line was actually spoken.
Well, no, of Johnny's.
Right.
No, because... No, I was looking... I was, like, paying attention, and Lisa's were off, too. Mark's some of... were off. Not all of them.
Not all of them. Yeah. Some of them.
A huge portion of this movie was overdubbed.
But you said... I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the guy's name now.
Tommy.
Tommy. Yeah. So, you said that they used a different voice actor.
I think they used... I'm pretty
they
sure
did.
They did.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they did.
Because that'd be an interesting choice.
I think what they did is they just said the lines in the moment, and then they realized they weren't clear enough, and so they dubbed over the ones that weren't very
Instead
clear.
Instead of just doing a retake?
I think they just wanted to make the lines
Wait,
clear.
Actually, no. No, actually, I think you're right. Because Tommy used to, like, forgot his lines all the time.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. He, like, couldn't remember his lines.
He wrote the movie.
and there's actually a scene where I noticed it. He's talking with Peter.
Yeah.
And if you look, his eyes keep moving around all over the place. Yeah. He's looking at fucking cue cards. Because he just didn't know the lines.
It's a bad SNL sketch. It really is.
Yeah.
It's just they're always looking at cue cards. But yeah, so is it all of his lines are dubbed? So that was
just about. Yeah.
It was very odd. Okay.
So he never got that promotion. That's a shame.
He never got the promotion.
No, we didn't. So what else we got here?
The love square, because it's no longer a triangle.
The love square.
The love square, because Johnny loves Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa loves Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, but Denny loves Lisa, too.
So that's not really... I wouldn't really call it a square.
Well, it's four people. I'm calling it a fucking square.
But I'm looking at the actual shape of the... it looks like
it's a...
It's a
branch.
A rhombus.
It looks like an atom.
An
atom of some sort. She is the nuclei and they are the electrons.
Okay, so it's more of a sphere.
I don't know what I would call it, you know?
It's more spherical.
Certainly, it's certainly a shape.
Actually, no, wait.
That's an X. It's called, it's an X. Okay.
it's like a Y. Like a capital Y. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
It can be a lowercase y, too.
No, it can't.
Wait a minute. How do you wipe the lowercase
I? I wouldn't go there. so, What was the next plot point? The next major plot point here.
Okay. The party. They were planning a party.
Yes, she was planning a party for
him. Birthday party.
Very true.
Which she did not want to do.
Which I will say it was a, well, man. I want to say that this...
It stayed for a while, though.
Yeah, I don't know why it just fell now.
I'll pose this as a question.
All right, pose your question. I am,
stop moving. All right.
There's no need to do that.
Perfect. Okay. Nailed it.
I'll pose this as a question. Do you think Tommy Wiseau, do you think he made this up as he went along? Or do you think
No,
there was a script.
There was a script.
Well, I know he had a script.
He obviously had to write the script.
But when he sat down and wrote the script, was it like, all right, I'm going to plot this out ahead of time and then put it into dialogue? Or do you think he just sat with a blank page and started writing?
I bet you he had the idea, wrote it all out, and then like people were like, you need more conflict or something. Our professors came
so
in.
So he added in all of
And so he added points. In like, oh, well, you know what? He's using drugs. And
Claudette has cancer
Claudette
now.
Has cancer. And now
boom!
We got, now
you
we got
cancer.
A movie. Now we got a movie. I think that's what happened.
Right. Because, like, I will say for this one, that was a kind of interesting through line here of, yeah, we're playing this party and there's, like, a lot of tension building with this party, and then all of a sudden that's the climax of the movie.
Now,
so I'll give him credit on that.
What I thought was funny was that there was the wedding, and I thought that was going to be the climax.
Which is another plot point, by the way.
Yeah.
They were planning this wedding.
So there was a wedding. They were going to get married. And there's one random point in the movie where they're all wearing tuxes. And they go, wow, you look good. Your wedding photos are going to look real good. And then I'm not sure if that was supposed to be the wedding day.
But then why at the end of the movie was he saying, you're my future wife still?
Right, so I don't
exactly.
Think,
I don't know what's going on.
So they never got married, I guess.
Then what were they doing that day? They were just taking pictures in tuxes?
Yeah.
No, they were playing football.
I think they were doing their wedding shoot.
Okay.
Which is something you do. I know you wouldn't know, but it's something you do.
I'll never
married.
Have to.
Yeah, it's good. So I think... They were doing that, but they never do the wedding. It just never gets brought up, really.
No.
Too much. What else?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, fuck that one. That one really doesn't come. So, the expecting thing.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, she gets pregnant.
But she doesn't.
But she's not.
But she doesn't.
She was lying.
Yeah.
That's true.
Tension
to more. Now, hold on. We are now 42 minutes, and we did not talk about the main plot point.
Which is?
Lisa is fucking Mark.
Yes!
Pretty much the entire movie.
Oh, hi, Mark. And let's talk about how it happened, I guess, because this is just the most amazing thing to me. She's just like, they start off the movie where she's literally like with Johnny, super happy. They bone, they're happy.
It is an incredibly romantic scene.
She wakes, it was a 4-minute sex scene.
Yeah.
She wakes
four
up.
4 minutes of sex.
And it lingers.
It lingers.
Oh,
and
it just lingers.
He fucks her in the belly button.
Yes. Zach said that during it. It was just the positioning.
He was way too high.
Yeah, there could
he
not
way
have been,
too high.
There could not have been penetration there. Unless he just
unless
had
he has that big of a dick.
Or just the saggiest dick in the world.
I wouldn't be shocked if he did. He looks like the type.
You know what? I'm willing to go with you on that. Tommy Wiseau, guy's got a big dick. I think I'll put a 70% chance on that.
I'll say it.
I'll put a solid 70% chance on that. But there is an incredibly romantic scene at the beginning.
I want to point out, she wakes up the next morning,
yes.
Happy.
Yes.
She smells the rose.
Don't forget
she
about
says,
the roses.
I'll see you later today, honey. And then, like, almost immediately, it's just, like, calls...
just like, oh, that guy's the worst.
Yes. She just calls Mark, and she goes, God, Johnny's the worst.
Oh, just fuck that guy.
And the weirdest part is it seems like at this point... Mark and her have not slept together, right?
No.
She starts off the phone call, hey, baby.
Yeah.
They had not slept with each other at that point.
Right.
And then later that day, she's just like, they just like, fuck.
No. It wasn't later that day.
Oh, it was the next day.
If you remember, she said, can you come over tomorrow? And he goes, yeah, I'll be there at noon. And then it was immediately the next day at noon.
Yes.
Yeah. And
like, she hung the phone up. There was a fade.
And then
boom,
it was
the next day.
And then like... He just like what she just like started like fucking him basically.
Yes,
it was just like so spontaneous, and I'm like, what?
I want to just make note of the roses for a second because
the roses.
I think we just need to talk about the roses. This was my favorite motif in the whole movie.
Was the roses?
I just love
the motif.
The motif. I just thought of every time I saw them, like, putting flowers in each other's faces, when Johnny and Lisa wake up in the morning, they wake up and smell a rose before getting up. That is how they start their day, by yes. sniffing a rose in this very seductive sexual way. But I was just thinking of, do you remember in Dick in the Box?
Is my dick in a
right?
box?
When he's, like, pushing them.
When he's got the feather, like, right in front of him, and they're, like, just stroking it over their faces. Yeah. I just thought of that every time they were sprinkling rose petals on each other. It was just, like, this phallic metaphor.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Oh, my God, the roses were so good. And we get to see, for some reason, I'm not sure exactly where this choice came from, we get a behind-the-scenes on the roses. We get a how-this-is-made scene of where is Johnny getting these roses.
I know, I keep going back. His name's Johnny in the movie.
Yes, Johnny.
Let me see if I can remember that dialogue there, that back and forth that they do.
I don't remember exactly, but...
I think I might.
But Johnny goes in to buy a dozen roses for Lisa, and he goes into the florist... and he goes to the woman. I mean, see, I don't know. I don't remember the dialogue, but so
I think it was like. Hit me. I think he walks another the dog on the counter next
dog.
To him too.
This
I'm
is gonna a
tell
fat
you
ass pug.
So I think he walks in and he goes, "How much for the flowers? Oh, $18. Here you go. Keep the change. Oh, nice doggy. All right, see you later.
You're my favorite customer.
Thanks. Bye." Like immediately at
done.
That speed,
fucking
at the,
done.
At the speed that I just did, things were just going.
Hey, Johnny, you're my favorite customer.
Yeah, just sprinkled in there. But no, and then, but actually, in the beginning, when he showed up,
yeah.
he goes, "Can I get a dozen red roses?" And the woman's like, "Yeah, sure." Oh, hi, Tommy. I didn't realize it was you. Who else would it be?
He took off the sunglasses. That's when she recognized him.
It was
him.
A fucking superhero moment.
The Fabio-looking motherfucker just coming in.
Oh, who is this man with the long black locks? Oh, it's Johnny. I'm glad he removed his sunglasses.
Oh, Johnny. You're my favorite customer. And it was
and I can't even recognize your sunglasses.
Yeah.
On.
Oh, it was fucking great.
I don't know, but you're my favorite customer. Okay, bye.
Yep, boom. Never see him again. That's it. He never goes back to the floors.
That was,
in and out.
Yeah, that was really
beautiful dialogue. I love
terrible.
That scene so
can
much.
We speaking of good dialogue?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Mark.
No, can we talk about the coffee shop?
Yes, we certainly can.
So they go to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Mark and Johnny go to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're doing some of this out of order.
All
but
of
it doesn't
it?
Fucking matter.
Doesn't matter.
All of it out of order.
I
mean, have we ever done anything?
No.
Yeah.
No. So, wait, that's totally true. We've never gone in order.
Never.
So they go into the coffee shop, and they order, not coffees, they order a hot chocolate.
Yes.
And a mint tea.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, in my head, I was thinking, any writer who writes something would just say, okay, they go to the coffee shop. Oh, what do they get? They get coffee. You
they
know,
get
whatever.
Coffee.
Doesn't
what
matter.
Else would they get
not
in the coffee
point.
Shop?
They get,
two venties.
Really, and realistically, if I was going to envision that scene, they would walk up to the counter and they'd be like, hey, two cups of Joe, please. And they would get their coffee and they'd sit the fuck down.
Right. You think Johnny would say
but that's my,
two cups
no,
of
just,
Joe?
I'm just saying in general.
Oh, two cups of Joe over here. Let's go over here.
Oh my God! Imagine Tommy trying to sound like a New York Italian.
He looks like one. I mean, he's halfway there. I mean, half of it's the look, right? That just greasy, just fucking like
the thing is. The thing
it
is,
was Nick.
Like, you can fry. You can put some French fries.
You should have seen him yesterday.
No, I should have. Why?
He was wearing khakis.
Yeah.
A long sleeve. What was that? Like a knitted shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. He had a fucking thing tucked in.
Yeah.
The sleeves one roll. They were just pushed right above his elbows.
Yeah.
And he was standing like this. Like slightly back.
Did you have a toothpick in your mouth?
He looked like a Guido.
Actually, the other night I did. Not yesterday.
He looked
though.
Like such a Guido. It was
fucking. Using
he looked like an outcast from the outside.
You're going Springsteen on us now.
It was hey.
Oh my God.
I like having different looks. Like every day I like people to be like, wow, I did not know you would have that look. What the fuck? Every day I change my look.
It was so good. Anyway. So they go to the coffee shop.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they go
and you gotta think, by the way, Tommy is writing this. Apparently, because he's blowing up so much on set, because people aren't doing it the way he wants it, none of this was improvised. It's not like any of this was come up. None of this was on the spot,
well,
right?
If he got like a different type of tea,
yeah,
like
sure,
he would have punched him in the face,
right?
Like, so, no, it's a mint fucking tea.
Like he thought maybe that's what he orders every day. Maybe it's like it's some sort of symbolism.
He overthought this,
but I that think. Obviously was a choice,
yeah.
right? That was an artistic choice.
It had to be.
So anyway, so she said, okay, we'll bring it right over to you, which I've never seen a coffee shop do that. They're always like, okay.
There are some. I've seen that.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't. I don't drink coffee all that much, but still, I haven't seen
it. It's not frequent.
So they go sit down, the woman brings the coffee over, and they're just having what is apparently a casual conversation. What in the world of the room is a casual conversation?
Yes.
Mark is like, oh, how's work? He goes, good, we just got this big client, a lot of money coming in.
Yeah.
Mark's like, what's the client? And he's like, oh, I can't tell you that, it's confidential. Oh, how's your sex life?
Anyway, how's your sex life?
Okay. And then Mark's like, oh, I can't tell you that. And then Johnny's like, oh, I gotta go. And he fucking leaves.
He just leaves. Another recurring theme in this movie of characters walking into rooms and immediately having to
fucking
leave.
Fucking
leaving. Like that, when Lisa and her mother?
Yes. Yes, they walk into their apartment. She says, confesses to her mother, hey, I'm cheating on Johnny.
Yep.
Johnny happens to be sitting on the spiral staircase, is overhearing
everything.
Which Lisa
is facing.
Yep, doesn't realize that he's there. They say it, that's the only line of conversation, and they immediately leave the apartment they just entered.
It seems that everybody in the city of San Francisco has a key to this fucking apartment.
That's true. People are just popping in and out.
Yeah, can we talk about the couple, Michelle and her boyfriend?
Was that Mike?
Maybe.
Was the guy Mike?
If it is Mike, Mike's my favorite character in the
movie. Oh, he was great.
He just came, they would just come in to their apartment and just fuck on the couch.
And they just fucked on the couch.
And eat chocolate. And,
well, Mike ate chocolate.
He ate all the chocolate.
Because it's a symbol of love.
When they finish boning, Claudette walks in.
Claudette.
And then later, what I found was funny, though, later he's telling the story again, and he just goes, yeah, they walked in on us, like, right in the middle of it. I'm like, you were done.
He was literally putting his sweater on when they were walking in.
He was putting his sweater.
Mind you, it was inside out and backwards.
But he was putting it back on over his t-shirt, which is already on. So
and,
was
his,
literally,
and he was still wearing, he was wearing pants at that
this
point.
This was the most innocent, like, you know.
Yes.
This is a dumb movie.
And it's all...
That's all I got to say. It's a dumb movie.
But, like, that scene, it's like, this is softcore porn.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, there were so many setups for sex scenes. Like, these characters are irrelevant to the plot of the movie. And all of a sudden, they're just coming in, and they have a 3-minute sex scene on the couch. It's just for no reason whatsoever. And his facial expressions only rivaled by Donald Trump's during the debate the other night.
Oh, gosh.
Like that's the only time that I've seen such great facial expressions
now,
before.
Yeah, there's memes going on.
Isn't
about
it great?
Donald Trump.
Aren't they great?
So,
fucking great.
Now... The climax of this movie.
Okay. Anything? Any other plot points you want to talk about before we get to the end?
Oh, I think we have...
That's all of them.
I had the football over and over again, how they only pass footballs feet at a time.
Yeah,
they don't have to throw them.
Yeah.
They just toss them underhand to each other. That's all these friends
a
hang
bunch
out.
Of grown
Except when
men.
In the alley. The one time where they're like... They're in the alley in their tuxes.
Right.
And they're just... They're long and they're fucking throwing it. Yeah.
Just a bunch of bros balling, man. Just a bunch of bros balling.
Oh, my God.
I had that. I had the laugh, obviously. Johnny's laugh was just the greatest thing ever.
I can't even
He did it in the worst times, too. There was no reason for him to be laughing, and he'd be fucking laughing.
I have the B-roll that we fell in love with.
Oh, the bridge.
Yes, we saw shots of the bridge.
They kept showing B-roll of a bridge.
It was the Golden Gate,
or Brooklyn, or one of the two.
No, they're in San Francisco,
No, this Brooklyn Bridge is, like... Oh, I guess you're right.
I mean,
oh my God, Nico!
Geographically,
yeah,
dumbass.
That doesn't work.
You're such a dumbass.
I mean,
what did I say stupid earlier that you guys made fun of me for?
Oh, you thought this was gonna be a B horror movie?
Yeah, I did.
No, he said something that was really stupid though.
I said something stupider than that.
Oh, yeah, wait, he did. Well, what'd you say?
What did I say?
I ended up saying to you, I've never met a stupid... Oh, he said 23 is the highest prime number.
Yes!
23 is the highest prime number.
Yes, he did! Oh my God, are a moron.
We were talking about numbers before.
Yeah, we were talking about our favorite numbers.
Yeah, we're talking about which numbers we liked. And I first said I really liked the number 19.
And then we're like, why? He goes, oh, no, never mind, it's 23.
Well, he goes, because it's a prime number. And he goes, I think 23 is the highest prime number, right? And I'm like, no. I'm like 41. I mean, like, there's a... I'm like, no, it keeps going forever, man.
As far as numbers though go, I like 19 and 23. I just want to make that clear.
All right. Okay. Sticking to your guns. I like it.
Sticking to my guns.
So we got to talk about this climax. Really do though.
How's your sex life?
You got any more?
Mike's watch.
He had a great watch.
My favorite line of the movie.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, this random character. I don't know what his name is. But he comes in at the 11th hour.
Steven.
Okay. Steven is not a part of the movie.
Oh. At all.
He's not a part of it. He's
Mark
not
Ruffalo. A, you're talking about Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. It wasn't actually Mark Ruffalo.
Might as well have been.
Okay. So they're at Johnny's surprise party, which is where the climax takes place.
Yes. You know, let's get to the climax.
Go for it.
The climax. Lisa, in the middle of Johnny's party, they're having a great time. She just gets up and goes, let's all go outside for some fresh air. And everybody's like, yeah, sure. And they all just leave.
Yeah.
And
without... any sort of being like, no.
Yeah, and then she shuts the door, and it's just her and Mark for a moment.
Right.
And so they start kissing.
Yes.
When all of a sudden Mark Ruffalo walks in.
Right, you're thinking, like any reasonable screenwriter would have Johnny come in at this
any
moment.
Any reasonable screenwriter wouldn't have included
or,
that scene.
Or Peter. Like, Peter was already, like, he was right. already established.
Well, I actually figured out why it wasn't Peter.
Why?
Because when the guy who played Peter... did his lines,
yeah.
Timer was like, okay, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
You don't have any more lines. Uh-huh. After he sent the guy home, he decided to include the party scene. So all of Steven's lines were Peter's, but Peter wasn't physically, the actor playing him wasn't there to do his lines.
I was going to say, because Peter was already established as the moral compass of this...
Yeah.
Film.
Right. And then Steven comes in at the last second, and all of a sudden he is the moral, like...
And we don't even know who he is.
He's Lisa's Gandalf all of a sudden.
And, he's in there, and he's like, Lisa, what are you doing?
Right.
This is horrible.
Yes, and we don't even know who he is. He goes to Mark, and he's like, Mark, what are you doing? You're backstabbing Johnny, whatever. And he says my favorite line of the movie, and a line that that I will use for the rest of my life.
Mark says, yes.
Mark, I thought you were talking about Steven. I'm like,
Mark goes to Steven. Keep your stupid comments in your pocket, man.
It was such a great line.
What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? Keep your comments.
Keep your stupid comments in your pocket. I'm going to use that in my everyday life. I am. Eventually Johnny discovers what... he already knows, basically, but he discovers...
He has a very, very strong suspicion.
Yeah. That her and Mark are sleeping together. And he ends up... After he finally... He places a wiretap in the phone very early in the movie.
A very makeshift
towards the end, after the party's over, he locks himself in his room. Lisa comes up, and she's like, you can open the door. And he's like, fuck you, bitch, basically.
In a minute, bitch.
In
a minute, bitch.
And she goes, who are you calling bitch? You and your stupid mother. It was dumb.
Wow, you got very Italian again.
You and your mother. What? Fuck your mother up the ash.
The ash?
Up the ash.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Get out of here.
So she calls Mark. Says, like, oh, I love you. And he's like, oh, I want your body.
Yeah. That was the fucking line.
And
I love you.
And Johnny,
I want your body.
And Johnny listens to the wiretap in front of her. And she's like, I'm leaving you. She leaves. So how does Johnny react to all this?
In the beginning, as any rational person would. He's very upset. He starts destroying things.
Everything.
He's physically upset. And
he broke a mirror. 7 years bad luck.
Yes.
Which I'm assuming is what he did initially when he got in the relationship with her, because...
It was 7 years.
It was 7 years that he was with her.
Was it that long?
He said, he wasted 7 years of my life.
Wow.
That
is a crazy relationship then. What is going on here?
It's so funny because they were together for 7 years, then just like in the last like months, she's just like suddenly like, I'm bored, I'm going to fuck Mark.
She's like, I'm bored, I'm going to fuck Mark and ruin your life.
Wow.
When they were planning to get married.
Yeah, so he destroys everything, destroys the house, breaks mirrors, breaks shelves, breaks everything, and... Then he has a small little wooden box on his desk. He takes it, opens it, and what does he find?
There's a pistol in that box.
Pistol loaded and ready to go.
Yeah. Yep. And your friend and mine, Johnny, shoots himself in the head and kills himself.
Yep.
And
happy ending.
And that's pretty much the end of the film.
Yeah, they all come in. They're like, "Wake up, Johnny!
Wake up!
Everywhere!
Do you think he's okay?
Johnny
is he
Brain
dead? Yes,
is all over
dead.
Johnny Brain is all over the floor. Like, he is clearly dead. You could not be more dead than that. You could not. It is so clear as day. Dead. He's just blood everywhere. Wake up, Johnny! Is he alive? Is he okay?
No, he's dead.
No, he's definitely dead.
He shot himself in the mouth.
You physically heard the gunshot. I'm assuming that's why everyone fucking decided to run up into the bedroom.
Yes. We have one last piece of business we need to take care of. Well, two, technically.
Well, let's talk. Can we talk about this ending for a second? Like,
yeah. Okay. I was going to try to keep as close to an hour as possible.
It's fine.
Fuck the time.
It's fine.
Right. I also want to talk
fuck
about
the
audience. I also want to kind of talk about that. and these numbers. And
you know, fuck it. Let's draw it out. Let's draw it out.
It's okay.
Let's go to 15.
No, this is the first time we're actually watching something that we can.
This
know.
Is a big thing. Too. This is a monumentous like occasion.
Let's go to the 15.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to the 20.
Sure.
Let's just go until
we'll
we
go
run
until
out.
Stop. That's all.
No. We have to have a time.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be like 2 hours.
So yeah. You know, let's.
Is this story thematically? Is this based on Tommy's life?
No.
Did this happen to him?
Can't.
Is he expressing it? Because I gotta feel like...
No?
No.
No, but I gotta feel like if this guy is so nuts that he would make this move, they would spend all this... Clearly, he was passionate enough to make this thing. There's a lot of passion here.
I think he looks at it as an artistic, like, thing. I don't think it's...
But I feel like that's gonna be inspired by his own... I feel like there's...
That's because you don't have a creative bone in your body.
I disagree with you.
I disagree with you, Nico.
I think there's something here. Like, I feel like most artists, and especially the crazy ones, which Tommy clearly is, okay? Everything that they, all that they live for is an expression of their emotion. That is all that they do. You know, everything, like, the crazy artists that just want to make whatever movies they want to make it because they get it in their head that I need to make this because I have something to say. And I gotta feel like this story was not, you know, this is not like a random Marvel writer that's hired because he can, you know, write a couple quippy lines of dialogue and all of a sudden he's writing Batman movies. You know, this is a guy that has this...
I feel like I missed a reference there.
I'm saying, like, one is just, hey, I'm just writing this thing because I want to write a movie. This is the type of movie is, you know, I'm writing this because I have a serious emotion that I need to express.
No, I think he did
it
because
so.
he did something he always wanted to do.
I think he thought it was artistic. He's like, this is a script I'm proud of, and he's always wanted to make a movie, and he just did it.
But why this, though?
Because I think this is what he considered to be, like, artistic. I think he's like, oh, you know, the main character's got to die in the end. It's got to be strong. I think he feels like very... I mean, just think about it. The fact that he made his character to this, like, perfect guy who got betrayed, and I think he's just, like, full of himself.
But isn't...
And he just wanted to come across as this tragic hero.
But isn't most art an extension of your own life, though? Isn't, like,
no.
In the truest sense...
No.
You know, here's the thing. I think everybody wants us to think that it is. But I think at the end of the day, most artists just make shit.
I disagree with you. I think I disagree with you. I'm telling you.
Not everything has meaning. So sometimes the meaning comes after the product.
Yes. I don't get the sense that that's what Tommy was going for here.
I don't know.
It was so particular. And it was so...
I think it was particular because he doesn't know how to write a script.
And I think it was particular because... Because there was so many things in it.
But why do you say that this wasn't his own experience? This wasn't his own emotion. What makes you think that it's not?
Well, because he's not dead for one thing.
Well, obviously. But why? Like
that's
he's tapping
Nick,
into a certain
Nick. You're catching the Nico stupidity.
I mean, that was pretty much one of the main reasons.
He's tapping into a certain emotion here. What makes you believe that this is
not
an
emotion?
Why?
Was his performance... Did you buy his performance? Is that why you're saying this? I mean,
it's not necessarily a performance thing. I just feel like this ending is so bleak, right? This is such like an angry, dark... It's a raw... It's a dark place to go to. And you don't just go there.
I love when Nico gets like this.
Right? Like, I just feel like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be, I don't know, man. I just feel like you need to go to that place, which is, granted, a horrible place to be at. Like, I feel like that needs to come from some sort of genuine emotional place. I don't see why you guys are so adamant that he didn't experience something.
I don't see why you're so adamant that he did.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, I feel like,
I just don't see it.
Okay. I'm going to look up interviews with Tommy. Yeah. I would bet you that this is based in some sort of reality.
I'll bet you that he thinks it is.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
But I don't think it really is.
So,
I don't think there's
any
reality
that
can justify this movie.
While you look that up, I have a few.
Yeah. I keep forgetting. Like, I keep thinking we talked about everything, and then you guys keep pulling up more stuff.
Okay.
I'm amazed.
I have what... This is sort of cryptic.
Yeah, that is very cryptic.
But each... I know exactly what
40, 38, 9, 7, 9...
I'll discuss them in one second.
One of these numbers. Somewhere down the list is the word cult.
Yes. I will discuss it. You should know not to look into my mind.
Okay.
What I was going to ask you is, when are you going to reveal why it's called The Room?
Oh, yes. We got to get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
That was one of the last pieces of business.
Oh, actually, that's what that is right there.
I had a feeling. That's why I brought it up now.
Okay. I would like to discuss. There's this part. Oh! We missed a plot point!
Did we miss? What?
We missed a plot point!
What?
Lisa's saying he's abusive! That's true! That's like the scene! That is the big scene from The Room. That's
I did not hit
everybody
her.
Know. I did not.
I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Lisa gets him drunk off of an amazing creation, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, what was the drink? I remember she comes out with two glasses.
Well, he says he doesn't drink.
Yes.
So, naturally, what do you do? What do you give somebody who doesn't drink? Why, you give them Scotchka.
Scotchka.
Which was Scotch, but in the script it says cognac, but fuck it.
Yes.
Scotch. It was like a normal, two fingers is how sort of you measure it. Mm-hmm. You want two fingers of Scotch, that's what you pour to in the glass. Yep. So it's the two fingers of Scotch, and then the rest is fucking vodka. That's the drink.
To the non-drinker. Gives it
to the non-drinker.
Yes.
She gives him vodka and Scotch.
Yes.
That's amazing. It's amazing he didn't taste it and just say, ugh, no. Because those are two very... Nick, you wouldn't know this, Nico. Nick would.
I wouldn't.
Those are two very, very strong flavors.
And distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm just going to give you this information. The Room originated, and this is actually kind of funny, because this makes a lot more sense now, was originated as a play. This was supposed to be a play.
Yeah, I knew that.
He wrote that, which is, it makes sense considering there's like two sets in this. Like, I could have seen this done as a play, if it were better, obviously. But like, it did kind of seem more like a play. Russo supposed that the adapted play into a 500-page book. He decided to adapt it into a film, which he would produce himself in order to maintain total control. Very secretive about exactly how the project originated, how he obtained the funding. But he did tell Entertainment Weekly that he made some of the money by importing leather jackets from Korea.
Oh, jackets. Okay.
According to independently wealthy at the time of production, having invested several fortune. Wilson made numerous poor decisions during filming that unnecessarily inflated the film's budget, such as building sets for sequences that could have been filmed on location, purchasing unnecessary equipment, and filming identical scenes multiple times using different sets.
I read something. He filmed this entire movie using two cameras.
Wow.
Two types of cameras. Let me phrase that. Two types of cameras. He used a 35 and an HD.
Why?
Because he didn't understand the difference. So he bought 35 and HD cameras, put them on the same rig, and filmed the same scenes with them.
Okay.
Just to see what looked better?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just do that like once? Like,
exactly.
Rent a camera
exactly.
And see what looked better. All right.
Because he bought them.
Ladies and gentlemen, I read this off of Wikipedia.
Oh, good. Wikipedia.
The accurate. Basic premise of The Room draws on specific incidents from Wiseau's own life, including the details of how Johnny came to San Francisco and met Lisa, and the nature of Johnny and Mark's friendship. According to Greg Sestero, the character of Lisa is based on a woman to whom Wiseau once proposed with a $1,500 diamond engagement ring, but who betrayed him several times, resulting in the breakup of the relationship. Sestero further postulates that Wiseau based Lisa's explicit conniving on the character Tom Ripley after Wiseau had a profound emotional reaction to the film The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, yeah, he's obsessed with Matt Damon.
Yes.
What a thing to be obsessed with.
Mark, he's called Mark because he named him after Matt Damon, but he always heard Matt's name wrong. He thought Matt's name was Mark Damon, so he named the character Mark.
So I was just, a little fucking fun
I just
fact.
Need to point this out to you. I was 100% right.
No.
This was 100% right.
Okay. No, not 100.
You can't give this to me. You can't give me, hey, Nico, you were right.
I won't give you anything.
You were partially right.
He bases it on his life. I told you.
Parts of the movie.
You can tell, though.
Nico, all of the things I write, some parts of them are based off
all
my
I
life.
Mean this was inspired by is that this was an emotion that he was feeling. That's all I'm saying.
I still disagree with you.
How?
Because I
how
can't.
Can you possibly
disagree with me? Because he's Nick and he doesn't believe in the scientific method,
you,
so why should he
people.
I don't I actually don't believe in the scientific method.
Crazy.
That's a fact.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in the scientific
that's
method
fine.
People.
I don't even believe in facts, and that's a fact.
Crazy people.
How do you, wait.
Wait everything is about their life. That's why every idea that I had for the screenplay today. Right? Because I'm a crazy
literally,
person.
His ideas is like, okay, so one is about my uncle.
Yes.
The next one is like, okay, so the other one's about me.
Yes.
And my...
It's all about me. That's what I'm saying, though. Because I'm a crazy person, Nick. I don't think about things competently. I'm not good at making stories. I'm not like a creative
thus
person.
Thus, he's not... Oh, wait a minute. You said earlier you were creative.
He's not creative.
Wait a minute.
When did
let's
I say
go
that?
Back on this.
When did I say
he
that?
Said you weren't creative, and you were like, I disagree with you.
Oh, I'm not creative. Here's what
so
I mean
you lie to us and our
I'm
listening audience?
I'm not necessarily
audience?
Not creative. Here's what I'll say.
He's not creative.
He's not creative, people.
Here's
he
what probably,
I've heard some of his he ideas. He's not creative.
He can follow a formula.
I do.
That's no. Yeah, he can just put in the independent variables.
I do three podcasts a week. I have a website called The Nico Empire. And now in our screenwriting class, I'm writing a screenplay based on my life. That is the definition of crazy. My life is completely unordinary.
I think the actual definition of crazy is doing the same action over and over and over. Okay, doing the same action over and over and over again and expecting the same results, which
different
is
results.
Basically, shut up. Which is basically what you already do.
Tommy,
yes.
Russo,
oh,
obsessed
yeah, no.
over yourself, yes. hoping that other people will care.
I am Tommy, okay? In the sense that we both think that we have stories that are worthy of telling, and they are not worthy of telling.
At
that
all.
Is what I'm saying. I
you
understand,
did spend,
Tommy.
You did spend 45 minutes describing a bee sting.
What?
On one of your podcasts.
Oh, that's true. I did. Oh, that is true. I did spend 45 minutes describing that.
I know yes. his podcast better than him, and
that
I didn't
is
even
true.
Fucking
that,
listen.
I did do that. That is the thing, though. I am constantly... Experiences happen in my life that everybody else experiences that are totally unremarkable and that are not worthy of sharing with people.
The
but
metal
I believe,
show.
What?
The metal show.
The metal show. That I
He felt obligated to tell people about the metal show.
That I spend time with on a podcast and I think, man, that would make a great screenplay. Of course it wouldn't make a great screenplay. Tommy is making that example for us. We should all understand that from the
so
room.
So wait, what you're saying is anything you ever make will turn out like the room.
I think so. I think that's why I understand this guy better than you do. This guy is a crazy person. This guy thinks that he is telling a story that everybody should listen to.
Save this for next week.
It doesn't make sense.
Save this for next week.
Anyway, continue.
Okay. So
what are your magic numbers mean?
My magic numbers.
If you can follow this at home, by the way, kudos.
If you want to write down the numbers, be my guest.
Yeah, it's 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. That's from Lost.
Oh. You gotta go back, Jack.
Okay.
You gotta go back.
So, the first number, 40. Johnny is the main character of this movie. He's only in it for 40 minutes.
Yes.
An hour of this movie is without Johnny.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an hour and 40-minute movie. He's only in 40 minutes of it, correct?
That's right.
There's a bunch of talk about Johnny's... Wow. Johnny's and Mark's relationship.
Yeah.
They're not together. They don't share a scene until 38 minutes into the movie.
Okay.
So again... The last half of the movie is when we can confirm that they're friends.
Yes.
The first 40 minutes, we don't see it.
Well, we're told several times, though.
Yes.
We're told how many times, in fact?
9, to be exact.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Out of 7.
No.
But that's his best friend. I trust his numbers.
I
trust
remember
his brain
makes. Oh, no. Hold on. Wait.
I remember distinctly.
Oh, then I don't have it on this list.
Okay. Keep going.
7.
Continue.
Okay. 9 is the number of times "Oh hi" was said in the film.
Oh hi, oh hi, Mark.
And 7 is the number of times "Oh hey" was said throughout the film.
You know what's funny about that? That implies that you're surprised at seeing the person. How
yes,
many times?
Every
in this movie,
single time.
They were always surprised to see each
my
other.
My favorite surprise.
I know what you're gonna say.
My favorite fucking surprise is
Johnny's there with Peter.
Yeah.
There's a knock at the door. Johnny goes open it. He opens the door, and it's Mark. And Mark goes, "Oh, hi, Johnny." Like, it's his house. Why would he not be there?
Maybe he was expecting Lisa. Yeah,
dun, oh, my God.
Dun.
Maybe he was. That's a fair point.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
What's your next nine?
What is my next nine?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that was the seven.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
I see what you're
saying. So, yeah, the fact that Mark and Johnny are best friends, not just friends,
yes.
Best friends.
Yes.
It said nine times throughout this movie.
Yes. Not a lot of subtext.
Seven times.
Not a lot of subtext going on here.
No.
It's very...
There were six instances. I remember that nine.
Six?
I remember that nine.
Six? Your voice cracked. Sorry.
Did it?
It did. Keep going.
So, that nine, I remember now. Okay? That nine is how many times "don't worry" was said in this movie.
I'm glad he kept track of all this.
There's never a word.
Good use of her time.
Okay.
If only you took notes like this in class.
Fuck class. Seven is the relation, the best
yes,
friends.
Yes.
Six, it was either five or six, I couldn't remember, was how many times Lisa said, "I don't want to talk about it."
She never wants to talk about anything.
You can make a drinking game out of this movie. Let me just say that right now.
Yeah, you could.
I think so. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, let's write all these qualifications down, guys.
10 is the number of minutes of sex in this movie.
Yes. Let's talk about that. The two Johnny sex scenes for a second.
They were...
Fucking her belly button.
The same scene, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, oh, yes.
Let's tell the story on that.
Okay. I'll do it.
Yes.
So, Tommy wrote the movie with this first sex scene.
Yes.
And then later on, he was like, let's do another one. And the actress playing Lisa was uncomfortable with doing another sex scene.
Which is...
We don't know if she was uncomfortable
just
doing another one, because she had three.
Yep.
We don't know if it was just with Tommy.
I don't know what that says about Tommy, your director. I'm just, but I think I'm okay. I think I'll take a pass on that.
So, and actually,
yeah.
Nick and I sort of confirmed this, that there was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I timed it.
You did time
it. I timed the last three, and we took a guess on the first one, which was about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So they had to reuse the same sex scene twice.
So they used
the footage.
Unused footage from the first sex scene.
Yeah,
for the second.
In the second sex scene.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Keep going.
There's a fun fact about that.
What a story.
Next on my list is the word cult. Yeah. There was a huge cult following behind this movie.
Of course.
It
is considered, and the reason why we watched it is, I mean, there's a few movies that kept getting brought up in terms of worst of all time. Batman and Robin, of course, is used quite a bit. But this one is the one that I overwhelmingly hear. Can you not play games?
No.
It's the one I overwhelmingly hear as this is the worst movie ever made.
But fuck that. But it's gotten to the point where so many people, because it's considered a midnight movie.
Yeah.
So many people go to the midnight movie version of this.
Yeah.
And Tommy's there, by the way.
Really?
Tommy goes to a lot of them.
Really?
Rocky,
that's Horror, kinda, that's Rocky awesome. Horror Picture Show is the same thing.
Yeah.
They did that in
Boston exactly.
Yep. They got midnight showings every like Saturday. Right?
But so people will go dressed as characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
They will count how many times "oh hey" was said, or like audibly in the room.
Yeah.
In the theater.
That is Rocky
if
Horror
they say
show.
"Oh hi,"
yeah,
and you're there and it's the sixth one, you'll hear everyone in the crowd going, "Six!"
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
They'll bring plastic spoons. I don't know why, but just start throwing them at the screen.
Wow. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like, that's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You
bring
huge,
a bag of stuff and throw it at the screen and yell
it's
and interact.
It's a huge cult following.
Wow, The Room is one of those movies,
yes.
Huh? Oh shit.
Guys.
I don't know how long we're going to do this podcast. I don't know how long this will last. How many years are we going to be doing this?
We have to go.
We got to go to one by the end, right?
We have to go.
We will.
Well, no, we will.
We will. Okay. Next time we're in New York City or whatever, I'm sure New York is where they're showing it. Like,
yes.
The hipster capital of the world. It's got to be there, right?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
The next thing is three.
Yeah.
And this pissed me off so much.
Oh, boy.
They did. It's three times they said "future wife." Just fucking say "fiance."
Nope. I don't think Tommy knows the word "fiance."
I think it's difficult for him to say.
I think it might be.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he just... I think it's possible that he just doesn't know the word.
It pissed me off to no end.
Yes.
Okay. 3.5.
Yeah.
What?
I love this list.
Okay, 3.5.
3.5. You've
never put this much work into the podcast. No. I love it.
3.5 is the IMDb rating of this movie.
Yes. Okay. Which is incredibly low. Insanely low for IMDb.
Out of 10, right?
Still, though. Yeah.
35 is the critic Rotten Tomato rating.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
How is that possible?
You know what the audience rating is?
What?
47.
Wow. That's... Man. Okay, so I think it is safe to say that the pretentious art fucks that see this thing believe that this is a piece of genius, right? Oh, yeah. That they believe that this thing is just a masterpiece. And yeah. it was purposely bad, and they're just latching onto it. It's like, you don't get it, man. It's the ultimate tragic hero story. And like, it's,
I don't know if people.
It's like think Shakespearean, like man.
I think the people. You think it's the artists that are giving it the good ratings?
I don't know how it's got 30.
I don't think it's otherwise. No. I think it's like high people who are watching this and like, yeah, man.
I'd like to see positive reviews. I want to read the positive reviews eventually on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay.
And then should we end on why it's called The Room?
I
would like to know why it's called The Room, yeah.
I think so. And I will say, my guess, I didn't know what this thing was going into it. I didn't realize that it was a romantic drama. I didn't have any idea. I thought that this was some sort of, like, B-horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, in the style of, like, Saw or something. They were trapped in a room. That's what I thought
it was gonna be. Another interesting fact.
Yeah.
There was a billboard put up.
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
One billboard to advertise this movie.
Yeah.
That's all the advertising for this movie.
Okay.
Tommy decided to go with what he dubbed Evil Man, which is where one eye, it's the photo they used, one eye was mid-blink. Only one.
Okay. And the other one wasn't?
Yeah.
So one wide open eye and the other one's like half open. Okay.
That's what they used for The Room. Okay. And then they just had The Room sort of superimposed onto it and the characters in the back.
Okay.
So many people thought it was going to be a horror movie.
Yeah. Wow.
From this
point. Yeah. I always assumed that it was.
Yeah.
So why is it called The Room?
It's called The Room because Tommy wanted The Room to signify a nice, warm, safe place for the viewers.
That's it?
That's it! That's why it's called The Room.
Excuse me? What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He wanted to...
Which room?
Just The Room.
What?
He wanted to impose the idea of safety and comfort onto the audience, so he called this movie The Room.
Right. All right, this is why is this a thing?
I just want to say, if you know, for those of you guys who, for those few of you who actually listen to us,
this was awesome. I really enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, and I just want to say we appreciate you listening to us babble about random shit. We've been doing this for about 5 months now.
We have.
And, oh, is that what you were just counting?
Yeah.
Have we really been doing this
yes.
for 5 months?
Yeah, early 5 months.
Early May.
Oh, yeah, because it was before.
It was actually technically late April we started.
Okay. Yeah.
End of April.
Yeah.
And I think, what's the date today? The 22nd?
Yes.
I think next week will be our almost exactly 5 months.
Holy shit.
Wow.
So when we get together next week.
Thank you. If you.
Actually, yeah, listening. Because the date it was posted was the day after we did it. So yeah, next week will be exactly 5 months.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
We might have actually been past it because we originally did this, if you remember, as a Nico Show episode. And that was a week before we
But Why Is This a Thing has been Why Is This a Thing for 5 months.
It was Pompidou Podcast.
It was Pompidou.
Well,
5 months ago.
Yeah.
Getting together.
Yes.
Yeah, so just thank you for that. And
yeah, this was awesome.
This was a great one.
This was a long time coming, but this this is a special.
This
right?
is something I've wanted to do since we started.
Now we have nothing to, you know, tease your little...
your fancy?
Yeah, tickle your fancies or...
Well, next week is I'm going to have fun next week.
Yeah, we're going to have an interesting game that we're playing next week.
Right? Should we tell them what it is?
I don't think we should say the game. I think just give, like, the general... Don't give the rules or anything. Just give, like, the general idea of what we'll be doing.
We'll be yelling!
Yeah.
Yelling and that sounds good. And being angry.
Sorry if you're wearing headphones.
Yeah. I'm calling it... Hold on, I came up with a name for the game.
Okay.
It's called Up On Your Soapbox.
I like it. And we're going to be playing that next
I week. Don't even understand that reference.
You don't?
But Zach, I do have one thing to say to you. What? You've been very naughty.
Naughty.
See y'all next week.
That was bad.